morning, and I want you to find seven people and say, I choose not to be offended today. Would you do that? Find seven people and say, I choose not to be offended today. Amen. Come on, find seven. I choose not to be offended. Amen. Hallelujah. You're on Facebook, do the same thing. Go to your family there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you may be seated. We're gonna do our thing this morning, but I just want to share some things with you. Offense is a choice. And, you know, I've had people offended at me. Some I've just spoken of, and I didn't really know why they were offended at me. I've had people be offended at other people, and I didn't know why they were offended at other people. But offense is the greatest bait of Satan. Because the number one thing for offense is division. So don't be offended with people. Don't, you know, look for the best in people. Believe the best in people. Amen? People are on all levels. Just like Kay was talking about this young man. You know, he would have never, ever, ever probably had this revelation unless Kay went beyond that religious thought and ministered to him. Because religion will keep you from people, and religion will cause you to look at people through different eyes. But grace goes beyond religion and looks into the heart of people. Amen? So when we come to church as a church group, give grace to people at Discovery Church. Not everybody is on the same level. Amen? And when people come in, they may have no clue about anything. Or they may come in very religious. Or they may come in a lifestyle that's not what we're used to. But let's give them grace, and let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life to see change brought forth. That's what the church should be. Amen? The church shouldn't be pointing fingers at people and condemning people, but the church should be receiving people and just loving people. Do you all agree with that? Amen? I believe that's what Jesus did. Amen? I believe Jesus loved people right where they are. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad he did? I'm glad he loves me right where I am. So, because I didn't have a whole lot of sleep, and I'm glad you're going to help me out this morning, right? So God is so good and so faithful. Turn to 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4, amen? Now let's stand back up. 1 John 5:4, praise God. For whatever. I think the King James says, whosoever. Or whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The world there is this present age. What, man, don't we need some overcoming in this present age? Amen. This present age we're living in, whatever is born of God, that is you, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? Even our faith. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and say it like we mean it. Come on, say it, Pastor, this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now turn to three people and say, I've got overcoming faith. How about you? Praise God. Amen. Well, y'all look good this morning. God bless you on this beautiful fall day for being here. Amen. Well, listen to me. There is a definite connection between what we believe and what the gospel says. When life throws us challenges and through a worldly system that fails, we can have faith in God's word, knowing how to rightly divide it and conquer what we're going through. So the kind of genuine trust we need goes beyond religion and gives us a way to practically apply the Word of God in everyday situations. And using precision in our application of the gospel of grace, which is also the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the way, gives us the ability, listen to me, to succeed on every level that the world doesn't have. We have an ability through the gospel of grace and through Jesus Christ. You can turn me down a little bit more if you would, Aaron. Through the gospel of grace and through Jesus Christ, we have the ability to succeed that the world does not have that ability. Our faith is a powerful tool. And in order for it to be effective, you've got to put words with your faith. So we do it by declaring God's promises that are made and applied in specific situations. And God has already given us a provision waiting for us that we address everything that happens to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? So don't worry, it's not COVID. Just want to let you know. It's essential to understand that the specifics of how our faith and God's word are connected. And in the scripture, John tells us that whatever, whoever is born of God, how many are born of God this morning? Whoever is born of God overcomes this present age. In other words, overcomes what's going on in this present age. As Holly was stating this morning, with everything that's happening out there right now, it literally seems like America has just taken a huge step backward, especially when it comes to unity. I remember after 9/11, we were in Florida. I was pastoring in Naples, Florida. And I remember that Wednesday night after 9/11, the church was filled with people. And there was such unity there. And it was just a wonderful time of all of us working together. And it seems like the enemy has just come in and is so divisive and so dividing. And if we look at these things long enough, we can even begin to get a little discouraged and maybe even lose a little hope and really, you know, just get frustrated with life. But I want to encourage you today, that's not where we are. We don't have to be discouraged today. We don't have to be frustrated with life. You know, we can take actions. We can do things, yes, amen. But I'm talking about in your soul realm, you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You can overcome daily and live and walk in your peace and not be affected by what's going on or vexed by what's going on the outside. And the way you do that is through your faith. Turn to somebody and say, have you struggled this past year with anything? Come on, turn to somebody and say, have you struggled this past year with anything? Man, all this stuff, has it seemed, it's just been a deluge of attacks, amen? But I want to give you some good news this morning, amen? So when there are issues going on, what do we do? As a believer, what do? When there's issues going on, issues that are impacting our soul area, are impacting our emotions, what do? We go to the Word of God. The Word of God is the answer for every need we have. And the answer is our victory over the problem. Faith always sees through the storm to the promise of God that's already been provided. Amen? And in order to operate in that arena, you've got to get into the Word of God, but most of all, you've got to allow the Word of God to get into you. It's not about that. We were at Karis yesterday, and I was telling the students, we were talking about studying the Word of God and how to study the Word of God and how to apply and how to really get everything out of the Word of God. And I said, you know, most people study the Word of God like they'll look through it a second, they'll pick a scripture, and it'll says, they'll put their finger on it, they'll read it, and said, Judas went out and hung himself. And they'll go, wow. Then they'll run over here to another passage, and they'll stop, and they'll put their finger on that one, and they'll say, do what he did quickly. Come on, somebody. We've got to allow the Word of God to absorb us. Amen? We've got to allow the Word of God to take root down into our heart. We've got to allow the Word of God to be the very life that we live in. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live in this Word. Jesus is this Word. And when we're rooted and grounded in the Word, when opposition comes to try to attack our emotions, because that's where most of us live in this bodysuit, is in these emotions that we have. When opposition comes to try to attack these emotions, we overcome it every time by giving that emotional response the Word of God. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Amen. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the good news, not the bad news. Church, this is the good news. What is so wonderful about grace is it's the good news. For years, I preached a mixture of the good news and the bad news. But I am telling you, when I found the good news, nothing's going to get me off the good news. It's the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who what? Not work for it, but believes, first to the Jew, then also for the Greek. Amen? I am not ashamed. Paul wasn't ashamed to proclaim this good news. And in this context, power translates the ability. The ability. Power of God. Salvation. Sozo. It contains persevering, healing, deliverance, and prosperity. All of these are contained. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of what I have in the power of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got healing, I've got deliverance, I've got perseverance, I've got prosperity, I've got all of these things available to me in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I love that, amen? I've got the ability to overcome anything that's thrown against me. Turn to somebody and say, so do I. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the gospel is referred to good tidings or glad tidings. The gospel of Christ that Paul wrote about specifically refers to the good news that was prophesied. The good news of Christ is that he became our ransom and our peace offering. Jesus is our peace offering. Romans 5:1. Look at the King James. Romans 5:1. Amen. Look at this. I love this. This is so good. I want to point out something in this for you this morning. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified, how are we justified, church? Through works? No, by faith. We're justified. We're made right with God just as if I've never sinned. Whoa. Hallelujah. Justified by faith, we have. Everybody say, we have. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The phrase, when you look in the Old Covenant, the phrase peace offering is in a plural form. And the Hebrew word for peace offering is shalem. And it means peace in all completeness. Peace in all completeness. It encompasses more than just peace of mind, listen to me, but includes peace in your relationships. Wow. Isn't that awesome? God wants peace in our relationships. God doesn't want you falling out with people. God wants you falling in love with people. Hallelujah. He wants peace in our emotions. This means not only our mind, but our relationships, husband, wife, family, friends. All of this, y'all getting this morning? Amen. Relationships, peace in your emotions, peace in manifested health, peace in your body, and wholeness in your physical being. All of that is in that Hebrew word for peace offering. And that was a type and shadow of who Jesus is. So, when you offer the peace offering, you receive every part of your spirit, soul, and body being in peace and being intact. Oh, my gosh. Woo! Hallelujah. And how many know that Jesus is our peace offering? You don't have to go back to the old to find the new. You will find the new in the old, amen, but the old always pointing to Jesus. So here's the thing, guys. Many times we fail to realize that peace is not something we obtain just because we have put ourselves in a special posture, or we have meditated long enough, or we have gone somewhere tranquil or peaceful. Listen to me. Peace is not something that you have to achieve. Peace is something that you simply receive. Could you say that again, Pastor? Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you very much. Peace is not something that you have to achieve, but something you simply receive. John 14, 27. Look what Jesus said here. We miss this so much because so many times we get a works mentality when it comes to so many of the good things that God's already given us, right? What did he say? Peace I do what? Peace I do what? I leave with you. He has left this with us. My peace I, what? I give you, give unto you. He's already given to us, not as the world gives. The world said, hey, get you some Valium, get you some crack, baby, get you some of this, man, get you some of that, man. Hey, babe, shoot up. Hey, man, get you some more alcohol. Do all these things, man, and you'll have peace. That's what the world offers, and that's a fake peace. Because as soon as you're over that fix, you're looking for another one. His peace is continual and unending. His shalom is always with us. Not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not. Don't allow your heart to be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives is not dependent on your circumstances because it's not given by the world, but by Jesus, who is not affected by the circumstances of the world. You remember when the disciples were out in the boat and Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and a storm came up and Jesus was where? He was sleeping on a pillow and the disciples were losing their mind. Master, don't you care? We're about to perish. And here's Jesus, man. Amen. Why? Because he knew God was getting him through this, and he had the peace of God that God had given to him. Amen. And so he wasn't panicking. He was resting in the storm. You don't have to panic this morning. God's got great rest for you in whatever storm you might be going through. Amen. Jesus has already given us peace, and the way we enjoy it is let not your heart be troubled. No one else can do that for you except yourself. You have to make a choice. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. Amen? Hallelujah. And Romans 5:1 is significant because it was written by Paul, the apostle of grace, and despite his past, he still received God's grace, God's forgiveness, and God's peace. He said, we have peace with God. And the word had is a Greek word. It's echo is what it is, the Greek word echo, which means or refers to holding onto or seizing upon the peace we have with God. You got to hold on to your peace. Turn to somebody and say, I refuse to lose my mind. Come on, somebody. You've got to hold on to your peace. Amen. God's grace is defined as unmerited, abounding provision of unrestrained operation of his infinite love, and we get this only through Jesus Christ when we depend on him. So properly applying the gospel gives us access to all the finished work of Jesus Christ. Acts 20, 24. Look what Paul said here. Look what Paul said here out of Acts. Amen. Hallelujah. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the, what? Gospel of grace of God. None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Church, don't let CNN in. move you. Don't let Fox News move you, headline news move you. Don't let Biden move you, Trump move you, Obama move you, your mama, your daddy move you. Don't let anybody move you. Stay solid in Jesus. Stay focused on the Lord. Access the peace that you have provided through grace. Amen. Don't allow your heart to get agitated. Don't get the spirit of slap about you. Come on, somebody. And this was Paul's confession of what he'd been called to do, specifically to testify about the good news of God's favor. Amen. None of those things are going to move me. I'm focused on God's grace. Our faith is what grace made available enables us to receive what God wants us to have. Look at why he wrote the Galatians, Galatians 1, 6, 7. Look at this just a moment. Galatians 1, 6, 7. I am marveled that you are so soon removed. Listen, religion wants to impose so many restraints and so much stuff on us. And this was exactly what was happening. The Judaizers were coming back into the church to spy out the freedom that they had. And they were going right back. And this is what happens. When we're raised in religion, it is so hard for us not to go right back to it. Are you listening to me? Amen. We go right back to it. And this is what was going on. And Paul said, I am marveled that you're so soon removed from him that called you into what? Into the grace of Christ. And you're moved into another gospel. Wow. Look at this. Which is not another one, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Don't be moved off of the grace word. Don't be moved off of it, man. Hallelujah. Don't be moved. Don't take things back into your hand. Give them back to Jesus and focus on his finished work. Amen? So there are other gospels preaching during your time. However, Paul considered the gospel of grace to be the only gospel that was true. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace we are saved. How? Through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This grace gift includes our deliverance, our healing, our prosperity, our righteousness, our redemption, and everything we need in life. We claim these things by our faith. We release our faith into what we have provided by grace. And when we release our faith by our words, confessing God's words make our words spiritual containers that travel the spiritual realm, collect the promises we need, bring them back to the physical realm, and cause manifestation in our lives. How do we do it? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. What does he say? Look, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you'll confess with your mouth, if you open your mouth. Yesterday at Karis, we were talking about capturing thoughts, and I was just doing teaching on theirs because there's a lot of questions about those negative thoughts that come in our mind, because that's where everything starts at, is with the thought. And they said, well, how do we get over this? And I said, well, first of all, you got to know the Word of God to get over it. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know the Word of God that is against that thought, and then you got to be like Jesus. Because when Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He opened up his mouth and he said, it is written. And that's exactly what we do as we maintain the victory that's been provided for us. That if thou should confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe where? Faith is in two places. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Next verse. Praise God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we cannot focus on what we see or feel in the physical realm. And the devil would attempt to deposit thoughts in our mind designed to plant unbelief. And unbelief perverts our faith from working. And it prevents our faith from working. 2 Corinthians 5:7, what does it say? 2 Corinthians 5:7, how do we walk as believers today? 2 Corinthians 5:7, look what he says. Amen. We walk by what? For we walk by what? Turn to somebody and say, I walk by faith. How about you? Turn to somebody else and say, I walk by faith. How about you? Turn to somebody else and say, I walk by faith. How about you? What do we not walk by? Not by what? Not by sight. Not by what we see out here. Not by what we hear out here. We do not allow those things to impact what we know we have in here. Amen? Listen, church, I've been in this thing a long time, and I want to tell you, we have to exercise this. We have to apply this. We have to put it into practice. We can't just live in this day we're living in and not put these things into practice. And as we put them into practice, amen, we're going to see the manifestation taking place in this day, because as the world gets darker, the church needs to be getting lighter. Amen. As the world begins to be in such confusion, the church has got to be in great peace. Amen. So all we need to get the job done is just a little bit of faith the size of a mustard seed. And Jesus said, you should say to this mountain, move yonder, and it's got to obey you. Amen? So we've been granted access to everything that we need, and God has given us everything we need. We know this. We've been studying this, 2 Peter 1:3, that pertains to what? Life and godliness. And Isaiah 55:11, I love this. Put it up if you will, Aaron. Isaiah 55:11. This is a great, great thing to understand and see this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not do what? It's not going to return void. When we speak the word, we believe it's out there and accomplishing what we say. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall what? Prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So when you go through something or you're facing adversity, get that word out of your mouth, amen, knowing it's going to go out and not return void, but it's going to accomplish exactly what you spoke. Wow, amen? We've been given great power. Great power. Hebrews 1:3, great power. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his what? Jesus honors and holds everything up by his word. Amen? Everything is held by this word. Praise God. If everything is held by this word, shouldn't we hold this word up? Amen? Shouldn't we speak this word? Amen? Upholding all things by his word of his power, when he himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of the Most High. Praise God. We have been given great power, and our first move after trouble comes is to go to the Word of God, find the promise in the Word of God that fits that situation, and speak the Word of God out. Speak the Word of grace out. Amen. The Bible says, James tells us that God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. You know how, and just turn there, James 4:6-7. Let me give you this in closing this morning. James 4:6-7. I want you guys to get this today, because I know so many people are going through so many things. He says he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. How many want more grace? More favor. Come on, raise your hand. More grace. How many want more grace? Amen. More grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now listen to this next verse. Look at this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit is not a dirty word. Amen? Submit is a good word. You know what it means? It means to get up under. God's saying, just get up under me. Just get up under me. Amen? And as you get up under me, as you lift him up, praise God, as you glorify him, as you honor him, grace is coming into your life. And he says, when we do that, we can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. He hadn't got any power anyway. God opposes the proud, the haughty. Can you put this up in the Amplified, Aaron? Let's go back up to verse 6. Can you put this up in the Amplified? But he who gives more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and to live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble, who turn away from self-righteousness. Because you know what self-righteousness says? I can handle it. But no, man, I don't know about you. I don't want to handle it. I want Jesus to handle it. In fact, he's already handled it. Amen? Grace is something we do not have to work for or earn. We simply take hold of it in faith. Faith arises in circumstances when we begin to praise and worship him. One more verse, well, four more verses. Psalm 34, 1 through 4. Look at this. Faith arises in circumstances when we begin to worship and praise him. Psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Amalek, who drove him out and he went away. Listen to what he said. I will bless the Lord sometimes, part-time, when I feel like it, when everything's good, when I got plenty of money in the bank, when everything's going my way. No, no, no. I will bless the Lord when, church? At all times. His praise shall what? Continually be where? In my mouth. His praise. Praise is a weapon. It is the highest form of faith. Amen? Next verse. Look at this. My soul, my mind, will, and emotions make its boast where? In the Lord. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice. Amen. They will rejoice. Why are they rejoicing? Because he's boasting and magnifying the Lord. And as Kate was talking about, when others are going through it, we set that example, amen, of that peace of God that we have in our own life and our own heart. Look at the next verse, amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with what? With me. And let us lift up his name together. Look at this, next verse. I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he what? He answered me and delivered me from what? All my fears. I sought the Lord on what? I looked into the word, and I found the authority that I have. And when I found the authority that I have, I'm delivered from all my fears. Stand this morning. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Come on, hold up your hands today. Praise God. And let's confess this morning. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. I declare I have no fear in my life. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I keep my mind on you. I keep my focus on you. Thank you, Lord, today. No matter what adversity I may face, I overcome it because I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. By faith, I overcome. And I release my faith today for every situation in my life. Every situation that the enemy tries to throw at me, I overcome today. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, I'm an overcomer. Amen and amen. Let's give God some praise today. Hallelujah. Woo! Why don't you turn to five people this morning and say, I'm an overcomer. How about you today? Would you do that?